So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Talkin' Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
How's it going, everybody? Matt Robinson back in the TCA studio. As we pound out the last of these little mini episodes that have kind of carried us through the holidays, Rob will return by the time we get another one of these put out. At least that's the plan anyway. Hope you're all having a great holiday season. Just kind of wrapping up big New Year's plans, whatever you might have going on. We appreciate you spending just a little bit of time with us over your holiday season. As I said, this kind of is the final mini episode. I've referenced once or twice now on the last two shows that at one point this was one big long episode. But we decided in order to kind of keep things coming out a little more routinely throughout the holidays, we would split it in three. If you want to go back and check it out, episode 382 was the All-Decade Ottawa Senators, 383, the All-Decade Toronto Maple Leafs, and here we're going to get to the NHL's All-Decade team. You know, a little more of an all-star feel to it, perhaps. So this will be the final one of those. All of those available at tallcanaudio.com, as well as wherever you get your podcasts, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. We're on iHeartRadio, TuneIn. We are, we're everywhere at this point. Just type in Tall Can Audio, hit subscribe, give us a follow. You can also hang out with us on social media. We're at Tall Can Audio on both Twitter and Instagram. If you want to give us a follow there, that'd be awesome. We love interacting with you guys, hearing what you think about the show, answering questions, stuff like that. But before we wind down 2019, we have this one final piece of audio for you as Matt and Rob discuss the NHL's All-Decade team. Hope you enjoy.
I wanted to touch on just briefly before we
touch it,
before we get out of here. I referenced the NHL,
yeah,
the release of the All-Decade team, and I think I was shouting them out to you as I went along.
Yeah,
they did not go by position.
No.
It's worth noting in terms of their three Fs. They went with, and tell me if you have any issue here. They went with Crosby.
Oh, I got issues.
They went with Ovechkin. They went with Patrice Bergeron as the third forward for the decade.
I don't know that I have issue with it, but it does scream sort of try and please everybody or as many markets as possible. You and I both, well, you more than me, really like Patrice Bergeron. I could stand to see him stop playing my team every now and then.
Could you not retire now, Patrice?
Yeah, honestly. One of those punctured lungs should keep you out of action for a day or two.
But does it?
No, just I'm going to show up and bury James Reimer a couple more times. I take issue with it only because I think, and I should throw this at you, all time, yeah, this decade, you know which player led the league in points over the course of the decade?
Patrick Kane.
It's Patrick Kane.
Yeah, and he's a winger, and he's just waiting to slide right into that spot.
Right. And I don't know how you don't acknowledge that. Three Stanley Cups, led the league in points over the course of the decade. And you're like, eh. Like, we both really respect what Patrice Bergeron does. And I guess, yeah, I don't really care if that's the guy you want to push out or not. But Ovechkin's got a cup this decade. Bergeron's got a cup this decade. Crosby's got two this decade.
See, and I think what you're saying, it's easier to put Kane in the two hole or on that second line.
Yeah, I guess.
Because what they've done is they've put Jonathan Toews as the second line center for the decade team.
I don't, it feels like Kane deserves a little more than that.
Okay, and this is what I'm saying, though, is who do you want, Bergeron or Toews in that second hole behind Crosby?
Well, in the middle, I want Bergeron.
Okay.
Now, Kane or Toews has three cups. Bergeron has one. I don't know what that And again, that's probably recency bias. Well, I've watched him kick the shit out of my team for the last
couple years. Taves, three probably, two and a half now.
Yeah.
Taves is flagging, right?
Yep.
And so, whereas Bergeron is still
making it happen.
Still
man.
Right there.
Yeah.
And so.
Just killing me.
Yeah, I think it's easier to sort of put Bergeron to the wing, then you can leave Kane.
Well, that's
and
what
Taves.
We keep seeing on the Olympic thing, right? Is that he plays with Crosby and even Marchand sometimes or whatever it might be. And then you bring him out for the big defensive zone face-offs and stuff like that.
And I don't know where, but somewhere down the lineup, Marchand also makes the...
The all-decade team?
In the top four lines. Which seems like a... So, yeah, because his first half of the decade wasn't that strong.
No.
Right?
And he's gotten better and better.
Better and better.
And more like, fucking irritating.
Yeah, for sure.
He just feeds on salt as he's licking you.
Yeah, for sure. He's licking me. Interesting on the D, and we can talk about it or not because I'm not sure it's super debatable. They have Victor Hedman and Erik Karlsson as the top pairing.
Isn't this the thing that comes up every year when we do the Norris? Do you want a guy who's really,
you know what?
Solid
I lied
defensively. Or?
I lied.
Okay,
it was actually Karlsson and Duncan Keith were the top defensive pairing. The second one was Doughty and Hedman.
You start to think about those Chicago Cups and the last one, especially with Kimmo Tiimonen and
Runblad,
right? And it's suddenly three Chicago defensemen.
Yeah, it was
playing.
Keith Seabrook and Oduya.
Yeah. Oh, Hjalmarsson. I think Oduya was gone.
Hjalmarsson.
He may have already been here.
No, he wasn't. He was in Phoenix, I think.
That was Hjalmarsson later. Anyway.
But that's where Oduya came from, I think. He was in a Thrasher. There was a bunch of things going on there.
But Keith and Seabrook at that point are playing, 30 minutes a night, essentially, just trying to get through that. And they had nothing left on defense. So I kind of get that. And you sort of forget that when it comes to, again, the recency bias, right? Chris Letang, his team has a couple of cups. He didn't play for one of them. They had Ron Hainsey and Ian Cole, I think, was their top defense pair that year. So
don't forget about Dumoulin.
I won't ever forget about Brian
and Daly. Don't forget about Daly right. either.
Some of these guys, right, that we think about all the time in terms of Subban and Josi and Hedman.
Is he in Subban? So Hedman and Doughty were on the second pairing.
Right.
And you look at Chara and Letang were the third pairing.
Right.
So, yeah, Subban with his Norris Trophy and his bajillion-dollar contract, which was trend-setting at the time.
Yeah.
8 times 9, I believe.
Yep.
Didn't make it.
Is my...
Like a Canadian Olympic team, didn't make it.
He made it.
Yeah.
Just didn't play on it.
Exactly.
Is my distaste for Chara on this list just leaf?
For sure it is.
Because to me, he was still every bit as killer in 2011 when they went to the final, and maybe in 13 when they went to the final. But he is not the same guy he used to be.
No,
like
but
his decade.
But he is a guy who's
going to
break
crossed.
His jaw in three places and still play and still win.
Like his decade was sort of like 03 to 13 more than 10 to 20 or 0 to 10, don't you think? Like Hall of Famer, all of that stuff. Not trying to take any.
I would suggest
these last couple of years, he's just.
I would
big
suggest
and strong,
his decade may have been 5 to 15.
Yeah.
Okay, but still, he was dynamite, dominant, and a Norris Trophy winner in the first half of this decade.
Yep. Yep.
And then if you look at his ability to continue the way he adapted to the rules.
Damn, he just paid off the officials.
Okay. Whatever.
Now my blues showing.
Yeah. I totally think that he's worthy of a top six defenseman in this decade.
Who are the goalies?
Starting goalie is Henrik Lundqvist.
I have no problem with that.
Kvist.
Bad teams around him.
Went to a couple conference finals, went to a cup final.
Whether it should matter or not, an Olympic gold medal.
Not in this decade.
Yep, 06.
That's not this decade.
You're right. That's not even close to this fucking decade, you idiot.
That'll not make it onto the
show. No, we'll leave that in.
Onto the show.
Somebody's stupid.
I don't know.
Who said that anyway?
Who is that?
Yeah.
You see that it's and the backup was Holtby.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I love either one of those. Do you take a Holtby over a Crawford as a backup?
Wasn't Crawford only the starter for one of their
two?
That Hobby Boulin, I think, the first one, and Niemi the second.
Niemi the first one, Crawford the second two.
Okay.
I'm almost willing to bet on that.
Almost.
How about that?
How about Lou?
How about the next beer in the line?
Yeah. Well, they're all coming out of my fridge. like Lou, to me, it's hard to separate it from your team, right? Like,
because what about Marc-Andre Fleury?
Right.
You look at how he started the decade. You look at how he finishes the decade.
But he wasn't the starter for either of their cups.
Nope.
But he did carry Vegas a long way, and he was very good early on in the decade.
And that last cup was
2009.
Yeah, but the second cup that Pittsburgh won with Murray, the first 2.5 rounds were Fleury.
Yep. That's a really interesting where do you put Carey Price? Bought a lot of bad teams in front of him, but pretty fucking good, especially for the kind of middle.
I take Price over Holtby.
Yeah, me too. Especially kind of that 2012 through 2016 middle run, right?
And then he hit the skids for a couple, but...
But don't you feel like anything that comes out of NHL.com is just how many franchises can we represent here? Like,
well, this was the Athletic, sorry.
All right.
That's
a good way to make Matt look stupid again. We're just on a fucking roll.
Well, Matt's the producer of this show, so...
I was sure you said that this was an NHL.com.
I may have.
All right.
I may, Matt, say a pile of shit on these podcasts. I may have said that.
Yeah.
But what I really was saying, though, was the NHL's all-decade team.
All right.
So I'm picking the Senators' decade team to beat the NHL all-decade team on clutchiness and pluckiness.
No, that's stupid.
Yes, it absolutely is.
Pick them to beat the Leafs. You should always pick somebody to beat the Leafs. But
I'm kidding. Yeah. Clearly, no. People. Clearly.
No. So that's it. Like I said, this is the final mini piece of holiday audio that we have for you. Everything now will be back live in studio, nice and fresh, all kinds of stuff to talk about as the World Juniors roll on. Canada, as we sit here right now, finished first in their pool after a New Year's Eve win over the Czech Republic. Alex Lafreniere is practicing again. It looks like he's going to be good to go again in this tournament. I don't think anybody saw that coming. The way he went down, the amount of pain he was in, the amount he's got on the line this year with, his draft and everything, I fully assumed that the kid was done for the tournament. So good news there that it looks like he's going to be back. We'll have all kinds of time to talk about all of this sort of stuff. Before we get out of here, I would be remiss, as it's been a big year for us at TCA. Our audience continues to expand. We've had some great guests. I want to say a couple of thank yous. I hope you'll indulge me for just a moment. The first one goes to Maddie Lang, who is probably our MVP this year. Maddie draws all the tough assignments when stuff breaks at the last minute, when stuff happens late at night. Maddie Lang has been the go-to this year. This year, one of our most listened to shows of the year was a post-Leafs-Bruins Game 7 meltdown, fueled by all kinds of rum and whatever else might have been going on. Maddie jumped on, co-hosted that show as Leafs Nation was ready to burn to the ground once again, thanks to the Boston Bruins. That's a show that got all kinds of attention, and not just as it happened, as I take it some of you are a little masochistic as people continue to go back and check that one out. But Maddie also drew all kinds of other late night assignments with the Raptors run to the Larry O'B. He's, of course, our NBA guy, but had to do a lot of heavy lifting there for us. In terms of having any kind of educated NBA talk throughout that playoff run. And he was on board with sore liver and all through all kinds of late night games there. And just anytime anything else comes up kind of out of the blue, Maddie Lang's the guy that we turn to, and he co-hosts a lot of these shows. And so I want to say a thank you to him. I referenced one of our most listened to shows of the year being that one with Maddie Lang. Two of the top five most listened to shows on the network this year featured Amy Burke, which is incredible when you look at some of the other guests that we have had on the network this year from the media and things like that. It's pretty clear our listenership is really into Amy and her Paralympic journey, and she certainly has a unique personality. And like I said, two of our top five most listened to shows of the year did come from Amy. She also took our Instagram with her to Peru for the Pan Am Games. Maybe we can talk her into doing the same thing this year, as her team is now qualified officially for Tokyo 2020, the Paralympic Games. Amy will be leading Team Canada into that competition, and maybe she can take us along with her there a little bit. But we'll certainly try to get her back in to talk about all the developments there. Steve McLean, host of the now defunct OHL Fanboys podcast, but Steve finally made his first appearance on our show, and he's been kind of a day one supporter of ours. He was a friend of Nate Sager, who was our first guest ever on the show, and Steve kind of got on board since we had Nate on right away and helped us kind of, you know, directed some of his audience towards us, shared some of our episodes on social media, stuff like that. And we had talked for a long time that it would be great to have him in studio. He's a huge Guelph Storm fan, and with them making it to the all the way to the Memorial Cup, actually, this year, that took them through Ottawa and the 67. So he followed his team up here, and before one of the Guelph Storm Ottawa 67 games, dropped into our studio and spent a little time with us. It was awesome to finally get to meet Steve in person and spend a little time with him on the show after him being a backer of ours for so long, and kind of helping us early on to get established and get up and running. It was awesome to finally have Steve McLean in studio. From TSN 1200, they have been awesome to us this year with so many of their personalities. Ian Mendez came in for the first time. Steve Lloyd came in for the first time. AJ Jakubek has made it back onto the show for three or four different times now. Again, this year, all of those guys, you know, put in great appearances for us, and really, you know, lent us some credibility by having them here. And we had a good time just having a couple beers and talking about, you know, their journeys and what they've been up to and just sports in general. So that was a ton of fun. Steve Warren, you know, had a bit of a transition this year from TSN 1200 to the Steve Warren Project. You can check that out. Anywhere you're hearing this, you can search for the Steve Warren Project and hear his podcast there. It is running wild, as he's got, again, just an awesome personality, well-known in this market. And during what was probably a tough time for him, he made a little time for us, and we really appreciated that. It was great to have him on for the first time, and hopefully he'll come back and do that again for us. Mike Comito was on over the summer. Sometimes, believe it or not, content is difficult to come by in the summer, and Mike Comito, author of the book Hockey 365, Daily Stories from the Ice, came back on the show for a second time to talk about why maybe the summer isn't quite as boring as some people think it is around the hockey world. That book is available now in bookstores or on Amazon. Like I said, it's Hockey 365, Daily Stories from the Ice. Big thank you to Mike Comito. And our most recent guest, I suppose, would be Andy Nita, who came back for the first time in a little while from the Nita Beer Company here in Ottawa. He chaired and led the Nita Craft Holiday Beer Calendar again this year, and so we talked quite a bit about that, and also just sort of in general what was going on in the craft beer industry this year. All of these episodes, all of these guests, you just have to hit up tallcanaudio.com, hit that search bar, and type in any of their names, and the episodes that they were on will pop up right away for you. You can listen right there. It's the only place you have to go. So it's been a big year for us around here. We really love how much our audience continues to grow. We love the feedback we get from you guys. Want to say thank you for listening. On behalf of Rob and myself, like I said, we really appreciate any time that you spend with us and, you know, sharing around the episodes, telling your friends this and that. You know, it's really helpful to us, and it's helped us kind of get to where we're going. And we're looking at more great guests in 2020. Some repeats of some great guests that we've had already, and hopefully a couple of new ones that we sort of have half lined up. And we're looking forward to another big year with you guys. So for the last time in 2019, I want to say thank you for listening to the Tall Can Audio Network, and we'll see you all in 2020.
We're not gonna be fucking sucked this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.